Well, it is finally here. 2021 is no more, right? Whew, yes. You know, my only fear is that 2022 would be 2022. You know, I'm hoping for a real new year and not a redo of 2020. So this morning we're beginning a new sermon series called Following the Way, where we are going to be talking about the importance about following Jesus. And I'm hoping that we might reaffirm as we look at Scripture, that we might reaffirm and reconnect with following the way of Jesus, right? That we would choose, that we would determine to reflect his image in the world today. And as we follow Jesus, we'll see Scriptures through the lens of his work and on the cross and in the resurrection. We'll come to understand the importance of functioning as Jesus' body, his hands, his feet in our world today. So as we begin this morning, let's read our scripture this morning, John 14 and Acts 9. I'm going to read the John passage now, and I'll be reading the Acts passage in a little bit. And so this is Jesus speaking in John 14, 6 and 7. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, and if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. And from now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There's a TV show out. I'm not sure if it's still on or not, but it's a show on the Disney Plus channel called The Mandalorian. And it's part of the Star Wars universe. And, you know, I grew up in the 70s, and so Star Wars is, you know, it's really important to me. And but it centers around this main character called the Mandalorian. And so this guy is tasked with the protection of what's called Baby Yoda. And I'm realizing now just how nerdy this all sounds as I'm talking about it. But Baby Yoda is described as the child. And the Mandalorians were these tough warriors and mercenaries. And, you know, they would never remove their helmets. They would never show their face. And the Mandalorians followed this strict code of conduct and behavior that became a lifestyle. And so throughout the story, throughout the show, whenever the Mandalorian decided that he was going to do something, or if he was referencing the code, he would say, "This is the way." And it was in reference to a way of a lifestyle, of a way of belief that conformed to Mandalorian convictions. And it reminds me of how, after we read Scripture, we as a church respond, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, I recently read a story where this young girl came up to her pastor and said, "Why do you always say, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever?" You know, kind of their version of the word of God for the people of God. And the pastor simply replied, "Well, that's the reason." And what he was saying was that this truth, right, that the word of God stands forever, that the word of God is for the people of God, right, that this phrase, because we repeat it over and over and over again, that's something that becomes written on our hearts, that if we forget everything that we learn in church, that we will learn, that we will remember that God's word stands forever. Right? The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. God's word for us. You know, we're told in John chapter 1 that Jesus became flesh and he dwelt among us. Right? The word is Jesus. Jesus matters. Jesus makes the difference. What we believe about Jesus matters. You know, one of the earliest ways of referring to followers of Jesus was the way. Now, before Christians were called Christians in Antioch, the way was how they were referred to. You know, Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2 talk about this. And before Paul's conversion, you know, he's persecuting people of the way. And so Acts 9, it says, "Meanwhile, Saul was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters in the synagogue in Damascus, so that if he found anyone there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. A reference to the followers of Jesus being called the way. The followers of God reflected the teachings of Jesus as the way, the means of salvation. The way, the means of salvation. You know, unfortunately, we don't always do that. Right? The church has not always reflected the teachings of Jesus well to the watching world around us. As Christianity grew from that moment of Jerusalem, the way of Jesus became part of a larger culture. Christianity eventually became the dominant religion in what would become Western civilization. And because of this dominance, it was accompanied by a lot of bad stuff, a lot of evil. Christianity was used to murder and steal and enslave and torture many, many people. Those who professed Christianity and yet lived an opposite way left a stain on human history that still has consequences today. There are people in our world who refuse to even consider Jesus because of the church's history. Maybe not because of what we have done, but because of what the church has done. You know, how we live matters. More importantly, how we live our faith matters. You know, a number of years ago, actually it was the last time I was serving at Concord Church, I read a book that just continues to stick out in my mind. It was especially when we talk about how other people view the church. And the name of the book was Jim and Casper Go to Church. And so Jim, who was a Christian, hires Casper, who was an atheist, to go to different churches with him and to give honest reactions to what he was seeing. And they list a variety of churches all over the United States. And they evaluate friendliness, they evaluate music, they evaluate the message, and so on and so forth. And the question that comes up time and time again is this. Is this what Jesus told you to do? Is this what Jesus told you to do? Casper wanted to see more of a call to make a difference in the world, even though he admitted that he probably wouldn't have time for it himself. Even the churches that they encountered that had these huge outreach programs failed in Casper's eyes to communicate a challenge to the individual in the pew to make a difference today. It's a statement that is echoed by Indian leader Mahatma Gandhi, who said, "I like your Christ, but I don't like your Christians. Your Christians are unlike your Christ." You know, as a people who profess Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, we have a daily opportunity to either confirm people's prejudices and their wrong beliefs about being a Christian, or we can show them Jesus. Beyond denominations, beyond megachurches, beyond the thousands of years of differences, the central theme of Christianity is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the incarnation of God, and through his death and resurrection, any one of us can have eternal life through him. Right? Jesus declares this. He says this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you know the Father as well. And from now on, you have seen him. And so when we see Jesus, when we understand Jesus, when we know Jesus, we see God's revelation of himself. We see God's way. Jesus didn't say that he knew the way, the truth, and the life. as a formula that he could impart to those of us who didn't know. Jesus claimed to be the answer to our problems, to the issues that we face. Jesus's solution to perplexity is not a recipe, it is a relationship with himself. I think, you know, particularly as we begin a new year, there are several applications we need to draw on. And the first one is this, is that we must choose to know the God of the Bible and not simply the God of the church. We need to choose to know the God of the Bible, not the God of the church. Now, let me explain what I'm saying. It is very easy for us here in America to know a lot about God. Right? We live in a mostly Christian nation. I mean, some people will say we're post-Christian. But we live in a Christian nation. We have holidays that center around biblical events like Easter and Christmas. Our calendar is set up in such a way that Sunday is both the head of the week and the culmination of the week. And if I were to guess, I would say the majority of us have grown up coming to church. Now, a couple months ago, if you remember, I preached a sermon series called The Lies That We Believe. And there have been a lot of lies we have been told or that we learned in church. You know, things like God helps those who help themselves, or cleanliness is next to godliness. Just follow your heart. God just wants me to be happy. It's like us coming to God to be cleansed. You know, God, we want you to cleanse us, and that's not a bad thing. But church, what would happen if we came to God and we say, God, we want you to change us? Don't simply cleanse us, but change us, God. Because, you know, when Jesus encountered people, he accepted them wherever he found them. But he did not leave them that way. When people encountered Jesus, they were changed. They did not stay the same. You know, we are humble recipients of this same gift. We don't have to stay the same because we know Jesus. Secondly, if we're going to be serious about knowing the God of Scripture, then we had better know Scripture. If we're going to be serious about knowing the God of Scripture, then we have to know Scripture. You know, the U.S. Treasury Service or the Secret Service, when they're instructing their agents about detecting counterfeit money, they don't have them study counterfeit money. They have them study real, authentic U.S. currency. Because knowing the real thing sets you up so that you can detect what is false. Now, you don't need to go to seminary to know God's Word. In fact, there are lots of people, and John, you probably agree with me, right? They call seminary cemetery. You don't want to go to cemetery. In fact, they'll say, if you really want to know God, just don't go to seminary. But, you know, God's Word is available for us all to know. And if you don't understand something, right, that's always the fear, I think. You know, we read God's Word and it's like, oh, I don't understand what I'm reading. It's okay. Ask someone. When I'm reading God's Word and I come across something that I struggle with, have a question about, there's a biblical issue that I'm wrestling with. You know, I have a number of people that I go talk to. You know, I talk to my wife, Jan. You know, she's incredibly wise. You know, I talk to Pastor John, ask him his thoughts and his opinion. I have a group of guys that I meet with regularly, and we hold each other accountable, and we'll bring things up like that. And there are others. But the point is that I'm trying to make is that no one knows it all. In fact, I would assert that if you think you are done learning about God, it's sin. Because there's always something to be more, there's always something more to be learned about Jesus. You know, one of the things I've always loved about Concord is the witness of the older members of our church. If you want to know where our older members of our church are, they're in Sunday school. They continue to learn about God. They have not given up. They come to Wednesday Night Live. they witness to me, and they witness to anyone who is watching, who is paying attention, that you are never too old to learn about God. Right? We never retire. We never set back and say, I'm good. But we continue to sharpen ourselves. We continue to grow as a Christian. And so thank you for your witness. You know, we have an opportunity to read God's Word together in 2022. In your bulletin this morning, there's a Bible reading challenge that we're offering up. It's a way to read through God's Word chronologically. There's a Bible app called the Bible Recap that you can listen to help you understand what you just read. You know, a way for us to grow deeper in our knowledge and our understanding of Scripture. You know, the Bible reading list, you know, we're going to be putting that in the bulletin every week. There's some available in the office, and you can get it online. And I would be more than happy to help you with any of that if you're curious. Thirdly, if we're going to be serious about knowing the God of the Bible, I think we need to ask ourselves, am I practicing what I preach? You know, in many ways in our world today, Christians have a credibility problem. We tell everyone that Jesus is the only way to the Father's house, that Jesus is the one who gives us the truth that we build our lives on, that he is the life that we've always longed to live, and then we disregard him in much of our living. I mean, if we put it simply, if we really took this belief to heart, if I truly believed that God's word is the greatest and wisest counsel I could ever receive, you know, how would I use my time differently? How would I pursue my amusements differently? How would I spend my money differently? How would I treat others differently? How would I change my life as a result of coming in contact with God's holy word? You know, in what ways is God calling you to change the course of your life? Do you sense God pressing in on you to change a certain behavior? Is there a person's name, a face that continues to come to your mind because God wants you to reach out and tell them about him? Is God calling you to forgive a transgression or to express a kindness? Is God calling you to step out in faith? Perhaps God's calling you to begin a ministry. Maybe God wants you to mend a relationship. Perhaps he's calling you to take a different job. You know, the real test of a believer is how he or she responds to what God is telling them to do. The real test of faith is not so much of what we say, but how we respond to what God says to us. You know, church, people are watching us. They're watching to see how we react and how we treat one another, how we treat this world, how we treat our time, how we treat our money. And who are we representing? You know, 2021, an opportunity, 2000, did I say 2021? 2022, no 2021, no more. 2022, this is an opportunity for us to make a choice to live differently. Not just for us, but for the world. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we are grateful this morning that you call us to live according to your will, according to the way of God. Jesus, we pray that we would heed that still small voice. That when we read your word and we come across something that challenges us or challenges a belief, challenges an action, that Jesus, we would choose your way over our way. Jesus, help us with this. Fill us with your Holy Spirit that we might die to self and to live to Christ. Jesus, we love you and thank you for loving us, and it is in your name we pray. Amen.